Now, if you have your Bibles, please have them open to Ephesians 5 as we'll be looking at this passage together. As was mentioned earlier, we are going through a series on biblical manhood and womanhood. And today we will be looking at husbands loving our wives. Now, we've seen that men are to be leaders. They're to be heads in relationships. And we're not to use our strength to serve ourselves, but we're to use the gifts and abilities, the strength, the energy that we have to sacrificially serve others. From the very beginning in the Garden of Eden, men are called to work. They're to labor. They're to guard and to keep our respective domains, our little patches of garden. And men are to learn from a young age through teenage years, even as young adults, that there's a call to be leaders. But then there's a unique opportunity and a privilege to be loving leaders in marriages and families. Now, at the outset, as I look at the congregation, mindful of different people's circumstances, not everyone is married. Not everyone gets married. There are various reasons that may hinder or prevent, but many do get married. If you are single, I think there is a biblical exhortation to desire marriage, to prepare for marriage, to learn from those who are married, and to support those who are in marriages. As we look at biblical manhood, you might be thinking, what do I do as a wife? Well, for you, I'd encourage you to encourage your husbands in his God-given task. And particularly if you're a single female and desire marriage, some of the things we look at this morning, I encourage you to look for in a prospective covenant life partner. At the outset, again, we must always remember that whilst marriage is desirable, it's a gift of God and it is good, marriage is not ultimate. You know, in Matthew 19, Jesus says that there is no marriage in heaven. Well, at least not between just human beings. Not as we know it. And whilst earthly marriage brings many temporal blessings, it brings companionship, two is better than one, it guards our hearts against temptation, earthly marriage points us to something far greater. It points us to the marriage between the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and his bride, the church. If you've come here this morning looking at Ephesians 5, thinking that it is an exhortation for husbands to buy chocolates and flowers and do nice things around the house, well, that's further down the track, and it is certainly a useful way to express love. Or if you think Ephesians 5 is about wives keeping the home and making dinner, I think we're going to miss the main point of Ephesians 5. Earthly marriage prepares all of us, whether we're married or single, for our eternal marriage with the Lamb. And yes, the happiest earthly marriages will be those that best reflect the biblical pattern. So let's look then at what is a man's unique role in marriage. What is a man's role in marriage? And we'll look at this in two parts. Firstly, it is to love. And then the second part is we'll look at four ways for men to love their wives. Firstly, husbands are to love, love, love. Why the threefold exhortation? Well, if you are following Ephesians 5, not once, not twice, but three times, the Apostle Paul exhorts husbands to love. So it's love, love, love. Look with me in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. Verse 28, In the same way, husbands should love their wives. And for good measure, look at verse 33. However, let each one of you love his wife. When God says something once, it's binding, it's authoritative. Say it twice, we better underline it. Three times, we would be absolute fools to dismiss. In Ephesians 5, verse 1 and verse 2, it says, all are to walk in love. All believers are to love. Everyone here is to love. We're even called to love different types of people. Not just family, we're all called to love our neighbours. We're even called to love enemies. So love is a big theme in the scriptures. But there is a special duty and requirement, a special responsibility and privilege for husbands to love their wives. Note in Ephesians 5, Paul never commands wives to love their husbands. And yet I think we all understand that wives are to love their husbands. Why is that? Note in verse 33, the exhortation to husbands is, let each one of you love his wife as himself. But a wife, yes, she's to love, but her calling is to respect her husband. Why are men called to love and women called to submit or respect? Well, God has made men and women differently to complement one another. If you ask women in this room, if they had the choice of one, love or respect, what would they want? I think most of them go, love. You ask a man the same question, and in fact, you'll get the reverse mirror image. Now, they're not at odds with one another, but that is how we are built up. That is how we are sanctified. These are the various needs men and women have. There was a book, I think, in the 80s or 90s, Men Are From Mars, Women From Venus, trying to capture that. Don't recommend it, but it's out there. Even the world sees that men and women have different needs. I'd recommend a better book by Egerich. It's called Love and Respect, and it's based on Ephesians 5:33. If you want to enrich your marriage, go to the bookshop and see how love and respect work together to build up families. And if it doesn't, if men don't love and women don't respect, it's a vicious cycle that's destructive. But these distinct gender imperatives point to gospel realities. A man's love is meant to reflect Christ, and a woman's respect or honour is to reflect the submission of the church. I don't know what your work has been like, or sorry, what your week has been like, men. How many have come in here bouncing with lots of energy, sans Red Bull or double shot of coffee? No, we all come in here tired. And not just on Sundays, maybe Mondays, the rest of the week. How many guys come home and say, I have so much energy, I want to love? Or, I've had such a great day, I feel like loving more. Few of us feel like loving. But Ephesians 5 isn't advice, and it's not even a call to feel love. It's a command to love. Don't buy the lie of the world that if you don't feel like it, you don't do it. Those with newborns, none of them feel like getting up at 2 a.m. None of them are feeling the love, but they do it. Because that's what love is. It's a command. It's an attitude. The church in Corinth was not feeling all the love, but they got that beautiful exhortation from Paul in 1 Corinthians 13. And actually, 1 Corinthians 13 demonstrates to us that love is for all seasons. Because when it says love is patient, well, when do we need patience? When times are tough. And so, brothers, as we come into this, I don't want you to feel the love. I want you to hear God's word, and by God's grace, obey that command to love. Let's be thankful that if we are in Christ, we can love. Because outside of Christ, we cannot truly love. Let's look then at four ways for husbands to love their wives. How can we do this practically? Is it to work hard, put food on the table, spend quality time cuddling and listening? All of these things are wonderful things. I don't think a woman in this room would say, that's not love. No, this all falls within the umbrella. But in verse 25, we have a picture of what love looks like. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Men, as we live in a dangerous world, and I know many of us are very sensitive to the various temptations and trials of work, philosophies, empty as they are, we're quite conscious of the dangers out there, and we want to guard our families against such threats. I'm sure many men in here are prepared to stand in the breach, in that doorway between the world and the family. So the first thing we're going to look at is, men, lay down your life. The first thing we have to do is lay down our life, but it's not against external enemies. We have to surrender our life first to Christ. The greatest enemy, or one of the greatest enemies in our families, is not out there. It's within here. And I can't presuppose you're standing before God right now, single or married, but if you are outside of Christ, you are a danger to all those around you. Proud, independent sinners make terrible, awful husbands. And you can apply that in any and every sphere, work, the sporting arena, social settings. Sinners make terrible husbands, proud, independent. They simply cannot love. Our first duty as husbands is to bow the knee, bow both knees, fall prostrate before Almighty God and confess our sin and need of Him. When it says lay down our lives, it's not against external aggressors. It's to surrender the crown and to say, I am not the ruler. I am not the captain of my salvation. I need Jesus. Yes, Jesus is an example to follow. But one can't follow Jesus if we've got dead, decrepit hearts. Trees with rotten roots produce rotten fruit. And without Christ, we can do no good thing. We must first acknowledge our sin and our need of a Saviour. If I could put it like this, we can only love our wives well to the extent we first love Christ. But here's the thing, when we die to self, it says in John 3 that we are born again. The Spirit of God dwells within us and we experience new life and resurrection power. In ourselves, we only produce death, but in Christ, you can be a great blessing to those around you, especially your wives. Single women, if you are looking, to get married, looking for a husband, and he's not in Christ, beware. Doesn't matter what job he has, the prospects, how he makes you feel outside of Christ, that is a death sentence to you. And let me put it to you like this. A man that cannot love a perfect Savior, a man who cannot love a perfect Jesus, how is he going to love you? Men, let us first lay down our lives. Secondly, we have to lay down our lives daily. You thought I was going to go address women now, right? No, we have to die daily. Are we visible examples of ongoing sanctification? Romans 7 paints a picture of the Apostle Paul struggling as a believer, an old man, new man, struggling. Like the Apostle Paul, by the help of the Spirit, we need to wrestle and kill and strangle the old man that continues to sometimes reign its ugly head. If I could put it like this, brothers, as believers, as born-again Christians, we are to dive on the grenade daily. You know that picture in all those movies? Oh, he's the hero because he's diving on the grenade to save others. Well, we need to do that daily. Sure, when we first come to our Lord and Savior, we are immediately justified. We're immediately adopted into his family. There is a sense in which we are positionally sanctified. We are set apart. It's a once-for-all blessing when we first come to Jesus. But we all know, as men and women, there is still remaining sin in our lives. And so, men, we must die daily to self. What's the greatest influence or hindrance to sanctification in families, do you think? You know, all the sociological studies, they survey men and family units, and they all say, this is in the world, that if a man goes well, if he's actively engaged in marriage and family life, generally speaking, the family goes well. But if the father is absent, or if he's present and you'd wish he wasn't present, then it does not go well, not just for the man, not just for the wife, but the whole family, and often for generations to come. Let's summarize it like this. Men, be like Joshua, not Achan. You remember Joshua? Took over from Moses. At the end there, he's a man who proves his trust in the Lord. And how's he put it in, I think, Joshua 24? As for me, not just me, and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are we a positive influence in our families, brothers? Are we encouraging them, our wives, our children, to know and love the Lord? Or are we like Achan? You remember Achan? He's also in the book of Joshua. They're in some battles and Achan decides to keep some of the things for himself. And because of his actions, the whole army of Israel is defeated. And when they do the investigation and they find out who's responsible for all of this, the whole household is judged. Brothers, are we a blessing to our family or are we a curse? We will only be a blessing to our families if daily we are guarding our own hearts, guarding against temptation and sin, and mortifying, putting to death the old man, our own desires, and choosing to serve others. As a leader, we set the tempo, the tone of sanctification in our families. How hard is it for your wife to submit to you. We've all been in the workplace, right? And none of us have perfect bosses. And it's sometimes hard to submit to bad bosses. But the hardest boss to submit to is the one who tells you to do something but doesn't do it himself. And so in our own families, do those around us say, he says this, but it's hard to see? Can we say like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, imitate me as I imitate Christ? Follow my example of confession of sin, repentance, dependence on God's grace. Can we say to our families, imitate me as I seek the kingdom of God first? Help me serve in the home, work, and church and the world. Brothers, not only are we to lay down our lives, we're to lay it down daily. Thirdly, Jesus died to save and sanctify a bride for himself. In Proverbs 27, there is a picture that says iron sharpening iron. Well, there's the family unit for you. Just as men are to be sanctified in marriage, so are women. And that is the primary call or the example here. Christ sanctifies his bride, and men, we're meant to be sanctifying our wives and by inference our children as well. Now, women, what's your dream of a perfect marriage? Is it something that has lots of likes and follows on Instagram? Is it Insta-worthy marriages? Whatever that looks like. Is it family? Is it comfort? Are these the things that you dream of and long for? If you don't have these things, is this what makes you upset? Well, according to Scripture, a husband's main job is not to provide all those things, although he may. A husband's main job in the Scriptures, according to Ephesians 5, is to assist in sanctification. It's not to give white picket fences. And sisters, if you are disappointed with this, may I humbly ask you to please spit out the prosperity gospel Kool-Aid, because that is not what marriage is for. It's for a joint sanctification project. Now, we're not against stable job, home. We are not against those things, but if that is the primary thing that you are looking for, then you have drunk from that Kool-Aid fountain. And it is poison. And it will ruin your marriage. It will give you bitterness, discontentment. Because God has not promised us white picket fences. Well, not here on earth. He's promised to give us wonderful things in eternity. Between now and then, we're to long for eternity. How is a husband to sanctify his wife? Read verse 26. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word. It reminds me of John 17:17, when Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So husbands, brothers, do we encourage our wives to spend time in God's word, in the Scriptures, in prayer? Do we encourage them to be here at church? Do we discuss the sermon? Do we apply the sermon? Do we help our children understand these things? Now, I appreciate that there is an imbalance in some of the domestic duties in some families. And I know when I speak to women that one of the things they find most helpful is when a husband will assist in the home so that a wife can spend time in God's word. So brothers, will you do that? Will you clean the bathroom? Will you do the laundry? Will you do the ironing so that your wife can spend more time in God's word? If you're not prepared to do that, I'll show you the grenade and we'll all learn how to dive on it. Die to self, brothers. Our job is to sanctify, assist in the sanctification of those around us. Small word here to those who are pregnant and those with young kids. Can I say the easiest thing to do when you are tired is to tap out? I'm too tired. Too tired for church, too tired for Bible study, I'm just too tired. Let me remind you, very few of you, if any of you, have called into work and said, I'm too tired to be at work. Very few of you have called in to say, I'm too tired to sit this exam. If it's important enough, you will do it. And let me say, if we're prepared to do it for worldly goals, which have little value, why aren't we prepared to do it for eternal glory? So this is the word to those with young kids, those who are pregnant. It's going to sound very harsh coming from a man. But my wife would say it, but I think you'd have more problems with my wife saying it up here. Keep pressing on. If you're tired and pregnant, still keep coming to church. That's where you're going to be sanctified. Keep reading your Bibles. Keep coming to Bible studies. Keep coming to prayer meetings. Because when the children come, it's not going to get easier. And if you're not prepared to do it when the sun is shining, it's not going to happen when the storms of life come. Let's keep pressing on. Men, do we encourage our wives to serve, use their skills, gifts, desires to serve others? How have you done this in the last year? This can be in the home, also in other spheres. I think the husband of the woman in Proverbs 31, he got the biggest bullhorn and he was shouting on the rooftops, look at my wife. Do we do that with our wives? Do we encourage them? Quite often there's insecurities, uncertainties. But God has given you wives with many gifts and graces. Encourage them to exercise them. In Titus 2, it says the women encourage one another. So men, once a month, are you assisting with family life so that your wife can go to a woman's meeting, so older women can teach younger women can learn from the others? If we're not doing that as husbands, we are failing our wives. We have to create the environment for these things to occur. Women, do you welcome this? Do you desire this? And again, I'll say it because it is rampant in the world and it creeps into our churches. Do we just want comfort? Do we just want a cozy life? Just enough. Because last time I read the Gospels, Jesus didn't say, pick up comfort. He said, take up our cross. Take up our cross daily. And for single men, can I say to you, only marry a woman who loves Christ. And it is evident. It is patently evident. It is not just on lips. And wants to be more like him. And it ought to be evident now. Because if your job is to help sanctify a woman, if that's not her number one goal, forget North and South Korea. This is far worse. Far, far worse. Men and women need to be aligned with God's sanctification plan for marriage. And fourthly, what's the point of sanctification? Why all of this? Haven't we all been saved already? Well, it's to prepare for that great day. In verse 26, having cleansed her by the washing of water with a word, 27, so that he might present the church to himself. Not in sackcloth and ashes. How does Christ want to see his bride? In splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. She might be holy and without blemish. How much effort for those who are married went into planning for your wedding day? In the average wedding preparation, in the church, outside the church. I'll tell you what, you didn't take a post-it note and say, here are three things we need to do, let's go. There's a lot of preparation that goes into a big day. How much more so should we be prepared for the marriage supper of the Lamb? Husbands, we're to keep reminding our wives to keep looking forward to eternity, to lift our eyes from the washing to heaven. And then when we look at heaven, we look at the washing and say, this is what I have to do today. And I shall do it for the glory of God. There are so many discouragements in this world, so many disappointments. Things that will cause us to stumble, fall, throw in the towel. What are you going to say to your wife if you have a miscarriage? If your child is seriously injured? Earthly promises hold little. Well, what God has promised in eternity, that grounds us. That keeps us. Yes, we must deal with sin, the mess, the muck, the gore. But we must remind our wives and each other to keep looking towards our bridegroom, Jesus. He is that perfect husband who bears with us patiently. You know, I had a friend, some of you have heard this story before. I had a friend when I was studying overseas in Cambridge. We were doing our PhDs together. He got married around the same time Nicole and I did. And then two years into their marriage, he was diagnosed with terminal cancer. How did he spend his last months? Whirlwind bucket trip tour of the world? No, he prepared his wife for eternity. He read with her. He prayed with her. His widow gave us this book. He mined the Puritans and he prepared a 150, 200 page book for his wife to read after he was called to glory. Brothers, we do not have to wait for a terminal diagnosis to prepare our wives for eternity. We have today, and by God's grace, we have tomorrow. Yes, by all means, there are things we need to do to put food on the table. But will we prepare our families and especially our wives for eternity? In closing, one can have many desires about marriage. Ephesians 5 reminds us that one of the main goals is not worldly satisfaction, but sanctification for glory. Husbands, we have a role to die to self. Are we in Christ? But secondly, are we dying daily? Are we an example to those around us? Thirdly, will we help sanctify our wives by giving her opportunity to spend time in God's word? Will we encourage her in the means of grace? Will we assist in life so that she can get to things so, like in Titus 2, women can encourage women and sanctify one another? And ultimately, are both our eyes fixed on eternity? I'm very conscious that as I've gone through this message, that some of us may feel very heavy because all of us have failed. Husbands, wives, single people. But in Ephesians 5, we're reminded of the great sanctifier, Jesus Christ. And when we have stumbled and fallen, he has lived that perfectly righteous life to take our sins upon himself, that we might be forgiven, washed, cleansed, renewed. And he's given us his Spirit that shows us areas of our life that need to be repented of and reformed. Jesus sanctifies his church. And so whether you're a husband, whether you're a wife, whether you are single, if you are part of Christ's church, he has promised he will sanctify us. May God give us grace in whatever calling, whatever station of life we are in, to be faithful to him. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the gift of marriage and for the roles you've assigned for men and women as husbands and wives. We do pray that Lord Jesus, you would continue to sanctify us and use our marriages for our good. Oh Lord, grant us grace, for we stumble and fall in many ways. But Lord, we thank you that in your perfect plan, you are preparing a bride without spot or blemish, without wrinkle. And when you are united finally and fully in that great consummation, there will be great rejoicing. Lord, may all of us be counted in that great number. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.